Today, I'll be tackling a few ways to help you successfully make product decisions. If you happen to be an indecisive person, so that you can feel confident about making decisions and not be a bottleneck to your team. I'm Dayton from Savvy Within, and my goal is to help product managers lead successful careers and thrive at their jobs. Now, have you ever been in one of those product team meetings or brainstorming sessions or even calls that felt like you were listening to a broken record? Or you probably walked away feeling like you didn't make any progress? Or at any point in your product career, feel unequipped to make the optimal decisions, especially when you're overwhelmed with a lot of unanswered questions? Some of those questions could sound like, should we kill the feature? What do you think we should do? What direction do you think we should go? Is this the right decision? The product team needs to make a decision. Let's circle back on this next week. Those are the kind of questions you get that make you feel overwhelmed when you're saddled with the responsibility of making a decision. Well, the good news is now you're a product manager, but you're responsible for making decisions that can impact your team's and organization's success and personally your career trajectory. I'm going to be covering two different angles or approaches to maximize your decision-making process. Those two angles are maximizing systems and maximizing people. So let's start with some broad definitions. What exactly are systems? Systems are simply personal processes that you adopt in order to get things done. In this context, think of systems as a roadmap that helps you identify when a decision is needed to be made, what steps you take, or tools that help you reach your desired outcome. Now, here's the thing. Everyone's systems would be different, but it's important at least to create a system that works for you based on the nature of your role or the nature of your team. We'll dive in deeper into some systems later in this video. Secondly, maximizing people. Being aware of your strengths and limitations, as well as those of your teams, is key to making successful product decisions. So by leveraging everyone's skills to the best of your ability, you can accomplish more together than you could do alone. We'll also touch on people later in this video. So let's get started with how maximizing systems can help with your product decision making. The first element of systems that I would like to touch on is time. For time, you need to know two things. One is the catalyst. That is, when do you know that you need to make a decision? And the second aspect of time is how long do you have to make a decision? Basically, what is the time to decide? Let's go over some strategies to help you prioritize your decisions to make sure that you're not wasting any precious time. With respect to time as a catalyst for decision making, if you've ever been in any of those conversations with your team where everyone seems to have a different idea of what the team should be doing at any point, most of those conversations are confusing. That particular confusion is a trigger for you as a product manager to know that you might need to start thinking of making a decision. For example, some of your team members believe that signing up to your product by email is not important, while others think is essential. Those are two different directions that will probably initiate a conversation and a solid decision that needs to be made. You need to watch out for those confusion and misalignment within your team, because those can actually be catalysts for you to make a decision and get everyone on the same page. Now, with respect to time to decide, making a decision is one thing, but committing to it is a whole different conversation. You want to identify when you need to make a commitment by, which basically means figuring out how long you have until you have to finalize your decision. You need to know that very early in the conversation. Some product decisions are urgent and they need to be made ASAP for your team to move forward, while some other decisions can wait for a couple of days or weeks and your team can still move forward today, but could potentially be an issue in a couple of weeks if not addressed. But the good news is that with practice and experience, you can start to anticipate the time to decide based on your familiarity with your product or with the area of the product that you're managing. Identifying your time to decide early in the process would go a long way to help you avoid unnecessary pressure based on falsely induced timelines from your team or the people that you work with, especially if you're indecisive. You don't want to be under pressure to make decisions very fast when you don't need to. Take the time to really consider when you need to make a final decision, and then you'll be setting yourself and your team up for a successful decision. Now, let's talk about the second element of systems, which is all about scope, and in some cases, it can surface as impact. This basically means figuring out how big of a deal this decision is before you dive in head first. The reason why the scope or the impact of a decision to be made is very important is because you don't want to waste your time on something that is not really important, but you also don't want to skim on something that deserves more attention. So think of it like a treasure hunt. You need to know how big the treasure is and how much effort you're willing to put put into finding the treasure. So before making any major decisions, take a step back and ask yourself, how much of an impact will this decision have on my product or the area of the products that I manage? Will it be a small change that won't affect much, or will it be a major overhaul that will shape the future of the product? By understanding the scope or impact of your decision, you'll be able to navigate the decision-making process more efficiently and avoid getting lost in the weeds when you don't need to. To get an idea of the scope of the decision that you need to make, here are some questions that you can start asking. Are you just looking to do something that is good enough, or do you want the absolute best job possible right out of the gate? Because not every product decision requires the best job possible. This will help you determine if you need it to be a satisfier or a maximizer. If you have very clear criteria for success, or if the outcome can be more open-minded and potentially evolve into anything that you decide it to be, you need to know that. Another question is this a reversible decision, or is this something that you'll be stuck with for the long haul? This is because some product decisions can be easily changed if they don't yield the outcomes that you want, while others cannot be easily changed and you'll probably be stuck with them for a very long while. Ask yourself, will this affect my products in the next 10 days, 10 months, or even 10 years down the line? Now, from my experience, the vast majority of product decisions should be made quickly. This is important in order to free up your bandwidth for more important decisions. So here's a little trick that I use to balance the scope of my decision and the time to decide. If I determine that the decision's impact is minimal based on the scope, I don't waste so much time, and I oftentimes make a quick decision if the impact is minimal. That way, I can free up my mental space for more important things. However, if I determine that the impact is quite significant and would affect the product in the long haul, I oftentimes take my time and leave the final decision until the last possible minute, even if I am actively working on it, just in case additional information comes in that could change my decision within the time that I have to decide. So keep this in mind. Now, let's shift our focus to tools as an element of maximizing systems for decision making. Tools make our lives easy. One of those tools that come in handy are product decision making frameworks. Product frameworks provide a structured approach to thinking and executing ideas, making it a lot easier to make the right decision. They typically involve a set of processes and sometimes prompts that guide you in how you carry out a task. In this case, making a decision. As a product manager, it's important to have your go-to set of product frameworks that you have a great mastery of in order to make your work a lot easier. Now, there are several product frameworks out there, but these are some common ones that you should probably have in your tool set and master how to use them. The first is the Kanban model, which basically helps you categorize product features into three different groups. One being basic features, two being performance-based features, and three being excitement features. And this is just based on their impact on the customer satisfaction. There is the RICE framework, R-I-C-E framework, as some others call it. It basically helps you prioritize features based on their reach, impact, confidence, and the effort to execute them. There are several pricing strategies, like the cost-plus pricing, value-based pricing, scheming pricing. Those can be used to decide or determine the best pricing strategy for your product. There's a good old SWOT analysis, which helps you identify and analyze the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of a product or a feature or an area that you are managing relative to the environment, the business, or your competitors. There is a cost-benefit analysis and several decision trees. And the last and also one of the most popular frameworks that I will mention is the business model canvas, which helps you define and evaluate the various components of a business model, including the value proposition, the customer segment, your revenue streams, and your cost structure. As I mentioned earlier, having all these decision-making frameworks at your fingertips can make your job very easy. But it's important to remember that these frameworks are just guides to help you arrive at the right decision with the right input. Do not feel restricted to use one framework. You can combine multiple frameworks and adapt them to suit your specific use case. The idea here with frameworks is to help you stay organized, collaborate effectively, and make well-informed decisions throughout your product development process with the right input, and eventually create products that meet the needs of your business goals. So go ahead, feel free to use and adapt those frameworks to your advantage. Before we wrap up this section on maximizing systems and later dive into people, let's touch on one more aspect of tools, which is data. Data, the big product topic. Data is one tool that may be considered a significant challenge or one of personal interest to you as a product manager. Having a really good grounding and understanding of data is crucial in transforming your product decision-making process. But there are a few things you should keep in mind when it comes to applying data as an effective decision-making tool. First off, it is important to understand and highlight the degree of confidence that you have in the data that you're relying on. And by degree of confidence, I mean how much assurance do you have in the completeness and accuracy of the data. This is oftentimes presented as a percentage or a score like 40% or 6 out of 10 degree of confidence. Now, tying the degree of confidence you have in your data to the scope or impact of the decision you need to make. If you have a fairly high degree of confidence in the data sets to support a low impact decision, for example, if your degree of confidence is 60%, you might consider relying on the data set to make the decision because it's a low impact decision. However, if your degree of confidence in the data set is low, for example, 30%, and you have to make a high impact product decision, you might want to rethink how you work with the data and how you make allowance for the margin of error, because 30% degree of confidence might be quite low for a high impact decision. Also, if you determine that your data is not the most accurate and the most complete, if the degree of confidence is low, the cost and significance of additional accuracy in the data they are relying on, and also the feasibility of obtaining additional accuracy, are important factors to consider before you go ahead with refining your data. In some cases, you might find that a small increase in accuracy could lead to a significant impact on your decision. For example, when you're dealing with the health of people or when you're dealing with security, you might need a higher degree of accuracy in your data. But in some cases, an additional increase in accuracy might not make much difference in the direction you go. The volume or amount of data that you actually need to make a reliable decision may make a difference for more complex decisions. But for minor bug fixes, you may simply rely on a judgment call from your team without additional data to support it. Overall, the key idea with data is to strike the balance between the time and resources that you spend to obtain more data or more accuracy to facilitate an informed decision and the potential impact of the additional investment. It would always be a good idea to seek input and qualitative feedback from other sources like user feedback or expert opinions, just to make sure you're not only working on quantitative data to reach your desired outcome. So go on, use data to your advantage, but don't forget to consider the big picture and make whole product decisions, not in silos. Now, before we switch into talking about maximizing people, let's do a quick recap about maximizing systems. Systems involve time, scope or impact, and tools. Time involves the catalyst for a decision to be made and the time to decide. Scope or impact is the implication of the product decision we are making in the short term or in the long term, who this affects. And tools, as an element of system, involves product frameworks and data that help guide your decision-making process. Now that we have a fairly good understanding of how to maximize systems for product decision-making, let's explore maximizing people in more detail. Two people matter here, or two groups of people, you and your team. For you, it is essential to improve your skills in decision making, both technical and soft skills. Technical skills could include learning how to use the right frameworks, frame your thought patterns, and learning how to analyze data and extract findings. And soft skills could be learning how to communicate the problem you need to make a decision on, how to communicate your eventual decision, how to fearlessly take initiative, and how to get your team on board and involved in the decision-making process. For you as well, it is important to seek mentorship and outside collaboration. If a product decision gets a bit challenging and you need a second pair of eyes, nothing stops you from reaching out for help within your product community on LinkedIn or even from other product managers within your organization. Now to your team. One mistake product managers make is feel like they have to make all the decisions by themselves and they have to learn the required skill to do so, which is not always the case. It is important to establish accountability and identify who makes different types of decisions in your product management team and who makes decisions with your development team. If this is done rightly, you're not worried sick about making decisions that aren't yours to make in the first place. Some ideas around establishing responsibility and accountability with who makes decisions could sound like the senior leadership or the head of product makes strategic decisions like who we should be targeting. Senior product managers could be making tactical and scope related decisions about things like should we build a mobile app or what does an MVP look like. Now, a chief technical officer or the lead within the engineering team would probably be making technology decisions like what technology should power this platform, and designers are involved heavily in design related decisions like how should the interaction work on the web application. So those are just general ideas around establishing responsibilities of who makes decisions on the team. Then you can leverage everyone according to their area of responsibility. Besides everyone's primary responsibility, it's also important for you to know the strengths of your team members and leverage those strengths as you see fit. A few things to note. Leveraging your team means that you are an enabler of their strengths. So it helps if you have key team members or your tag team who you default to when you need expert opinion in different areas. For example, if you need expert opinion on, say, backend estimates and development, who do you default to? If you need an opinion on user experience or design, who on your team do you call? If you need, for example, data exploration or data analysis, who is best fit? If you need to learn how to use a tool, who is the tools master in your organization? These are some of the tag teams that you need to have at your fingertips. You don't have to do everything by yourself. So a huge part of learning your business is learning who has the skills that can double up your decision-making process so you don't have to do the things that you do not need to do all by yourself. So be open to seeking guidance and input from others. No one knows everything. By doing so, you're not only getting valuable input, but you're showing your team members that you value their opinion and expertise. Remember that with a team, you have a diverse set of opinions in order to have innovative ideas and solutions. Your role as the product manager in facilitating decisions within a team is to ask the right questions, poke holes, play devil's advocate, and provide guardrails for the team to make decisions. A key takeaway here is that when leveraging your team for support, don't get carried away by collectivism and driving consensus and agreement with everyone. Some people may disagree, and that's okay, but the ultimate responsibility for the decision lies with you, even if you seek support from your team members. And as long as you've adopted the right information, skills, and tools in making a reasonable decision, then work on making the disagreeers join, even if they don't agree with you. Another key takeaway is to be careful with decision hijackers. You probably have worked with a team member who seems to make product decisions without consulting you. It could be frustrating, especially if it was your responsibility in the first place. While it might be tempting to let someone else make the tough calls, especially as an indecisive person, it is important to remember that as the product manager, you are ultimately responsible for the success and failure of the product or the product area that you manage. So be cautious of team members who are very eager to make decisions on your behalf. Make sure to communicate clearly with them that you are the decision maker and you need to be involved in the decision making process because it's your responsibility. By taking ownership of your decisions, you can ensure they are making the best choice for the product and you're seen as a responsible and effective product manager. Having said all that about maximizing systems and maximizing people, I want to give you one last bonus tip, and that is practice. Decision making is a skill that can be developed with practice. So I encourage you to practice your product decision making exercises. Make mistakes fast and learn from them. Take on small decisions and work your way up to more significant and impactful ones. Listen, the pointers I've given around maximizing systems and maximizing people mean absolutely nothing if you constantly evade product decision making. Practicing product decision making does a few things. One, it builds your confidence so that you can make more decisions faster and more audaciously. Secondly, it exercises your intuition and your sixth sense. This way, you can make more experienced decisions with maybe lesser evidence. So don't be worried about the volume. Don't be worried if everyone doesn't agree with you. They don't need to agree as much as they need to be on board with it. They'll be fine. That's it for now. If you enjoyed this, feel free to share with your product manager friends, and I'll catch you next time.